We are Zoicha Baruch Hashem to begin the fourth Perek of Mishle, which begins with a pasuk which is very similar to the beginning of Mishle, Shma Bini Musar Avicha. But whereas over there it says, Va'al Titoish Torah Simecha, right? Here it says, just Shimu Vonim Musar Av. Interesting, here it's in the plural, and there it's in the singular. But who is this Av that we are talking about? So if you look at Rashi, and Rashi is always Pashut Pshat, as they say, Kipshutai. So Rashi says that the Av that we're talking about is the Ribbono Shel Olam. Rashi in the Mishlei Perek Dalet Pasuk Aleph, Shimu Bani Musar Av HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you go back, if you remember, but I quoted it here anyhow for our benefit, if you go back to the Rashi in Perek Aleph Pasuk Ches, Shma Bini Musar Avicha, right? Now, it's very interesting. In a pasuk that only mentions Av, it's much easier to speak about the Ribbono Shel Olam, because there's, you know, Halo Av Echad L'Kulanu. But now you have a pasuk at the beginning of Mishlei that speaks not only of a father, but also of a mother. So if it's regular parents, that's also fine. But if the Av is going to refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then who's the Aim? Who's the mother? So Rashi says on that pasuk that the Av indeed does refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what's the Imecha? So Rashi does something very interesting here. First he says Uma Secha, and then he adds Knesset Yisrael, instead of simply saying that Imecha is Knesset Yisrael. Because I think that he wants to find a connection between the word aim and ummah, that means Knesset Yisrael. And it's very hard to know, actually, it's very hard to know why you need to do that. But in any case, what does it mean that your mother is Knesset Yisrael? So if you look at the very famous Gemara, which probably you've learned already in... So the Gemara is on Daf Lamed Hey Yomid Beit. And the Gemara says, Amar Abchinino Bar Papa, Kol Anenim Ino Ilum Azek B'loi Brocha Ki Goizel HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Knesset Yisrael. If you have a chiyuv to make brachas, what happens if a person ate without making the bracha? So he is robbing both HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. How is he robbing HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because the Gemara tells us he's like a Moyo Behekdesh. The Pasuk says, HaShemayim Shemayim LaShem, V'aretz Nasan Livnei Adam. But there's a contradiction, because it says LaShem HaAretz Umaloa. So who does the Aretz belong to? Does it belong to HaShem? LaShem HaAretz? Or V'aretz Nasan Livnei Adam? It belongs to Bnei Adam. So the Gemara answers, kan lifnei bracha, kan lacha bracha. Because when a person makes a bracha, it's a matir, it's poide, that which belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it becomes our own. So before bracha, it's Lashem Ha'aretz, and after you make the bracha, it's Ha'aretz Nasan Lifnei Adam. Very few people realize that when they make a Birchas Hanenin, they're actually making a purchase, as it were. And the coin is the bracha. But that's as far as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned. How are you gozel the rest of Klal Yisrael? How are you gozel Knesset Yisrael? So the answer is because making a bracha brings Shefa to the world. And when a person doesn't make a bracha and shows his ingratitude and he does not acknowledge the mastery of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Olam Hazeh, it damages the fruits of this world. It ruins the production of the world, and Mameli's Goizel Knesset Yisrael. That's the Gemara says, how do you know that he's Goizel both the father and the mother? Both the Ribbono Shel Olam and Knesset Yisrael? Because it quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, Goizel Av V'imai V'aymer Ein Pesha. He steals and he says, I didn't do anything wrong. Who did he steal from? It sounds like a Ben Sarah Amar over here. He steals from his father and from his mother. And he says, Ein Pesha, I didn't do anything wrong. Chaver Huli Ish Mashkis. He is a shutuf, a partner to the person who is an Ish Mashkis, the person who does tremendous damage, tremendous destruction. Ve'ein aviv ela hakadosh baruch hu. So who is he stealing from? Aviv ve'imoy. So who is the aviv that the Mishle is talking about? Hakadosh baruch hu. Shenamar halohu avicha kanecha. So you see that Ribbono Shel Olam is called Av. Ribbono Shel Olam is called Av, and we are called Bonim. Bonim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. So we are called Av. He is our father. What about Imai? It says Goizel Aviv ve'Imai. The Gemara here is asking the same question that I asked you about Shema b'ni Musar Avichav al titosh Torah simecha, namely, who is the mother? So the Gemara there says ve'ein imoy el kneses Yisrael shenemar shema b'ni Musar Avichav al titosh Torah simecha. So the chapela de gezach. What do I mean? Usually you bring a raya from something that's clear to something that's not clear, right? In one pasuk it says Shema b'ni Musar Avichav al titosh Torah simecha. In the other person it says Goizel aviv ve'imai. Where is there more of a raya? They just use the word imai. There is no place in the Shema b'ni Musar Avichav al titosh Torah simecha that says imecha is Knesset Yisrael. Imecha is the mother. So what's the difference between this pasuk and that pasuk? Both pasuks mention father and mother. So how do you know more that that's Knesset Yisrael that you're bringing a raya? Ve'ein imai ela Knesset Yisrael shenema v'al titosh Torah simecha. So I'll tell you the answer. The pasuk of al titosh says Torah simecha. That's the secret. Where is the Torah of a mother? So if a person wants to be homiletic, then of course he says the mother teaches Torah too in her own way. But I think the fact that it's Mishle, and to begin with, we understand that Shlomo HaMelech is speaking in Melitza form. So we have an intuition, we have an understanding that Torah Simecha means what? What does it mean? The Torah that has to do with an allegorical mother. Because there is no real Torah Simecha, and in any case, Imecha probably means something else. So the Shaila is, what is the Nakuda of Torah Simecha? So if, for example, we have that the idea of Torah Simecha refers to Minhagim. Why is Torah Simecha Minhagim? Because that's exactly the idea. Musar is Torah itself. And Musar is an interesting word, because we always hear the word Musar, we get scared, because Musar means criticism. Musar doesn't mean Musar. The word Masorah and Musar are related. So, right? And in general, the giving over of Torah, that's Avicha. That's called Avicha. The minhagim, which isn't a giving over of Torah Misinai, but is the way Klal Yisrael behaves, that's called Imecha. That's Torah of Imecha. Bekitzer, the fact, I suspect, that when it says Goizel Aviv Ve'imai, there's no remez in Goizel Aviv Ve'imai that who the aim we're talking about is over here. So they need a place where there's at least some association that allows us to understand Imecha a little bit better in Mishle itself. So where is that association? Because it says Toiras Imecha. That's my chiddush here. Since it says Toiras Imecha, it must be referring to some Imecha that has Torah that's being given over to Klal Yisrael. So who is that Imecha? So that's what Chazal tell us, that Imecha is an expression for Klal Yisrael itself, for Knesset Yisrael. Avicha is the Ribbono Shel Olam. Imecha is Knesset Yisrael. So therefore, Shema b'ni Musar Avicha means, as Rashi says, the Torah that is given by Hashem. And Torah Simecha is the Torah of Klal Yisrael. Now go back to Goizel Aviv Imai. When you don't make a bracha, you Goizel Aviv Hashem, and you Goizel Imai Knesset Yisrael. And that's what the Gemara means. And you have here, in this Rashi, on Pasuk Ches of Perek Aleph, right before the Gemara Brachos in the notes, Shema b'ni Musar Avicha Mashenosna Kodesh Baruch Hu L'Moshe B'chzavu Ba'al Peh. Yeah? And Imecha Umasecha Knesset Yisrael V'heim Divrei Seifrim Shechitshu V'hoisifu V'osus Yogim La'Toyra. Interesting that there he does not refer to Minhagim, but it's the same idea. That which comes from the downstairs up instead of coming Min HaShamayim down. So Musar Avicha is Torah Shebichsav Shebal Peh, and that which Chachamim created as Siyogim LaTorah This is called Torah Simecha. So whether it's Minhagim or whether it's Siyagim, the point is the same. It's coming from below. And that's because Simecha refers to Knesset Yisrael. So that's Goizel of V'imoy. So the same thing here, consistently in our Pasuk, Shimu Bani Musar Av, listen to the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Musar Av is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hakshivu l'da'az bina. So take a look in the Bir HaGra. Shimu Bani Musar Av. So the Gra points out, as we find in a number of languages, there are certain synonyms for a word, and those synonyms have slightly different meanings. Says the Gra that the word Shema, the word Shin Mem Ayin, has three separate connotations, depending on the context, and you have to know what we are referring to. Because here it says Shimu Bonim, listen, right? We have Luchu Bonim, Shimu Li Yiras Hashem Alamedchem, right? We have Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. What does the word Shema mean? So he says the word Shema means three things. Gimel L'shoinis, Ha'alef Loshen Kabbalah, K'may HaShomeya Yishma, V'chodol Yechtal, or V'hoya Im Shamoya. When we say V'hoya Im Shamoya Tishmu El Mitzvosai, what do we mean? When we say, listen to me, so you don't mean listen to the, I mean, you could mean listen to the words that I'm saying, but you really mean obey me, right? You know, why don't you ever listen? That doesn't mean why don't you ever listen with your ears, because if you listen with the ears and you do the opposite, that's not listening to me. Listening to me means to obey. So he says the first lashon of Shema means to obey. That such as V'hayom Shema Tishmu Al Mitzvosa. Right. Abeis lashon Havona. Comprehension. K'mo shekasuv kishoyim anachu. So sometimes, you know, the many people give the example that they say in Yiddish. There's a Yiddish heron and there's der heron. Der heron means to comprehend. You know, in many languages there are two separate words for that sort of understanding of the nuance. You can hear and you can comprehend. The third one is Lashon Gimel Hu Lashon Shmiyah Kamashmai, that you hear with your ears. So there is obeying, comprehending, and hearing. And all three are the word Shema. Zokter Goyin, Ubay Nichlal, in the Lashon of Shmiyah, there's a Lashon also included, a synonym of Hakshava. Hakshava is to listen with attention. In other words, to listen with a special concern to hear every word. That's Hakshava. V'hat Oznecha, Bichdei Lodas, that's Hakshava. Right? So he notices that in the first pasuk of Perek Dalet, it says Shimu v'hakshivu. Right? So he says Shimu, what's the difference between Shimu and Hakshivu? He's interested in knowing. So he says Shmiyah is on one level of hearing, and Hakshiva is a higher level of hearing. Zokta Goy. He says, Vizeu Shimu Musar Av, Tekablu Musar Av. So he says the first Shimu is Tekablu. It means obey. V'hakshiva v'hat oznecha b'kdei lodas u'lohavin habina min ha'chochma v'hein chochma u'bina. U'musar pa'amim amir etzel chochma, pa'amim etzel bina, ki hu soid ha'das ha'kol u'mishneyem. In other words, what he's basically saying here is that in this pasuk you have everything. Because you have Musar, Da'as, and Bina. So the Musar here, since you already have Da'as and Bina, so what does Musar refer to? Chochmah. So the Chochmah, Bina, V'Da'as trilogy you have here in Musar, Da'as, and Bina. That's what the Goyin says. And the next pasuk, Ki lekach toiv nosati lochem toirasi al ta'azayvu. He says, because he connects the two psukim, Ki lekach toiv nosati lochem hu ha-mitzvais, k'ma shikosuv chacham lev yikach mitzvais, ki ha-mitzvais loikachim biyodayim la'asais, toirasi al ta'azayvu, hu ha-toira, ki ha-mitzvais einon b'chol zman, elo kol echot bizmanoi, avul ha-toira hu b'chol eis uzman, So the Goyin has apparently some very, very important need to categorize them in numbers and in structures. And we don't have a feeling for that exactly because we're not on that madrega. But the main point that we can get from this Taich of the Gra is a fascinating insight in how you talk about Torah versus how you talk about mitzvahs. Because the Gaon notices that the first part of the Pasuk says, I gave you something. And the second part of the Pasuk says, don't abandon it. You notice an interesting thing? It says, Shema b'ni Musar v'icha, and then it says, Al titash Torah simecha. Al titash also means don't abandon, don't leave it off. What's the difference between the two? The answer is that when you give something, it's a moment of acquisition. When you don't leave something, it's already in your pocket. You own it. Don't give it up. So the shaila is, why is it that the Gabi, the first part of the pasuk, it speaks about taking. And the second part of the pasuk means, don't give it up. Ki'ilu, you have it already. So the answer, of course, is that the first part, says the Gra, is talking about mitzvahs. Why is that an answer? Because mitzvahs you do when the time comes to do the mitzvah, or the occasion presents itself to do the mitzvah. So when the Ani comes to the door, or Purim comes around to read the Megillah, or Pesach to eat the matzah, or Yom Kippur for Mechilas Licha V'Kapar. So you do tshuva, special, unique, Aseres Yemei Tshuva. All those moments, the need that compels you to do is arriving at your door. If it doesn't arrive at your door, the need isn't there, then you're dormant. In Torah, there's no such thing. Because Torah is the exact opposite. Torah basically is 24/7. I always use the mashal of a glass that's filled with water. Now, you take the glass, and before you fill it up with water, you put in pebbles, marbles, different colored marbles. Some marbles are tefillah. Some marbles are tzarchei ha'adam. Some marbles are parnasa, etc., etc. Now, those marbles are going to take up the space of that glass, because the glass is a constant. The glass is my 24-hour day. Some marbles are sleeping. After you put in all those marbles, right, you ask, how much water does it take to fill this glass? The answer is going to be a smaller quantity of water, obviously, than if there were no marbles in the glass. Now, what if a person, instead of putting marbles into the glass, puts in broken pieces of stone? Pieces of stone. Representing, in my mashal, inappropriate uses of time. So again, if he fills it up with broken pieces of stone, it's going to displace a certain amount, and therefore the amount of water that you'll be able to pour in, again, is less than a full cup. But this time, it's illegitimate. What's my point? My point is that the idea of learning is that the glass has to be full. And how much water you pour in depends on what your legitimate displacements are. But in theory, that cup should be full of water from top to bottom at all times. When you have that kind of understanding, you look at learning in an entirely different way than you look at mitzvahs. Which also, by the way, explains why when it comes to doing mitzvahs, you have to stop learning. Because otherwise, you would never be able to put any marbles in. In other words, Torah basically is a default. And that's an unbelievable idea. Why? Because Torah is not a passive thing. Torah is an activity. To tell a person that he should be busy, a male, a zachar, who has the mitzvahs Talmud Torah, that he should be busy learning at all times, unless he finds a legitimate excuse, is an unbelievable yesod which does not exist in any other religion of any kind in the world. You know, imagine a scientist that's very into physics, that he should say, except for the fact that I breathe and I eat, it might be true. It might be true that that's how he conducts his life, because he's meshuggah for physics. But that it should be a commandment, that he's mechuyev, at any moment he can give it up if he feels like it. A person's born, and by the time he's bar mitzvah, even earlier, because mitzvah's Talmud Torah starts when the father starts teaching the child. But that's the father's mitzvah. But his mitzvah begins at bar mitzvah. So when he comes bar mitzvah, for the rest of his life, he is under this umbrella. He's like inside a matzav called Limud HaTorah. That's why Limud HaTorah is always al titosh, because you're always there except for the legitimate marbles, the legitimate explanations. I wouldn't use the word excuses, because they're not excuses. They're legitimate. But every spare moment that's not legitimate, so you're already speaking about broken pieces of rock. You're not allowed to put those pieces into the glass, because it's going to displace the water of Torah inappropriately. So the bottom line is that it's not just a way of playing around with words. It's not just a question of what? Of
semantics.
Semantics, right. That's what I was looking for. It's not a matter of this word or that word or this inyan or that inyan. It's a basic philosophical fundamental premise in the whole concept of Yiddishkeit. It really is. And it makes learning an extremely different inyan than asiyas hamitzvahs. So that's all of this, by the way, lies. I haven't said an extra word beyond what the Vilna Gaon said in a couple of words here. That's what the Gaon says: Toyrasi alta azayvu ki hamitzvahs einon b'chol zman elo kol echad b'zmano aval ha-toyruhu b'chol esu zman. And that's the pshat of a hagisa bo yomam v'loila. That's the pshat of a hagisa bo yomam v'loila. V'chein omar al ta'azovu klal. I wanted to add one thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to Yehoshua. And Yehoshua is now, what is his agenda? I mean, it's very remarkable. What is Yehoshua's agenda right now when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him? So he's the one that's supposed to take over from Moshe Rabbeinu. His role is a mamali mokka, because Moshe Rabbeinu cannot take Bnei Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael and conquer the land for them. So this has to be done instead of Moshe Rabbeinu by Yehoshua. Notice he doesn't have his own personal mandate. He is taking over where Moshe Rabbeinu had to leave off. And that's the Nar who is lo yomish mitoicha oil. So what is his agenda right now? The answer is to conquer Eretz Klal. That's his agenda. Now, we would imagine that that is a full-time agenda. And I imagine that that's probably correct, that it is a full-time agenda. So the shaila is, when exactly does he have time to learn? So the pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him, and he says to him, "Kechol asher yisi Moshe eyeh imach, I'll be with you just like Moshe Rabbeinu." And then he says to him, and Rak Chazak Ve'ematz is repeated four or five times. But then Moshe Rabbeinu is being replaced by Yehoshua, and Yehoshua is supposed to conquer the land, and HaKadosh Baruch says, "I'm going to be with you just like I was with Moshe Rabbeinu, and you should be strong and have fortitude." And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him the following words: "Lo yomush sefer ha-teira hazeh mipicha v'hagisa bo yomam v'loila." Right? And right? Leman tilmad la'asos kechol, tishmor la'asos kechol ha-kotsuv boi, ki oz tatzliach b'chol drachecho b'oz taskil. There's a couple of extra words there that without those words we could have learned the pasuk beautifully and said the agenda is to conquer Eretz Yisrael as a yid. So how does the melech function? So the answer is he holds the sefer Torah, leman yilmad, right? He has to listen to whatever it says in the Torah, and he has to follow its precepts all the days of his life. Right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Lo yomush sefer HaTorah zeh mipicha." Leave out the words for a moment. For hagisa bo yom v'loila. Leman tishma l'asas kechol hakosu boi.
and then you will be matzliach. So tishma lasas kachol hakasabon.
If that's the case,
what are the extra words of agisa v'yom v'loyla?
Without agisa v'yom v'loyla, it's the perfect charge. You're the melech, but you're a melech Yisrael. And you can't conquer lands the way anybody else conquers lands. You're not Genghis Khan. You're not, you know, you're not Alexander the Great.
You're coming in with a very precise agenda that has to do with Torah and mitzvahs. And Torah and mitzvahs includes mitzvahs hatliyas baritz start now, and it includes how you conquer, and how you daven, and on and on and on.
And all the dinim that you have in Parshas Shoftim, Bayav v'karevchem el ha-mechama, and lo yisashchis es eitza, all of these halachas. Yifas toyar in Parshas Kiseitze, Kadlu the Chaziri, there's hundreds and hundreds of halachas that he has to follow as a melech.
But what is the pshat of the words v'hagisa v'yayim v'loyla?
And exactly when is that supposed to happen? So I think the Teretz is twofold. Number one, that the Ribbono Shalom is telling him, as exactly what we said a moment ago, that even if you're busy the whole time conquering Eretz Yisrael, and that is your responsibility, and that is your tafkid, and your tachlis, and you have to do it, and I want you to do it. I am commanding you to do it. But you should know that basically you're learning a whole day.
What's the pshat in that?
Exactly my point. It doesn't matter how many legitimate marbles are in the glass and how little water ends up in the glass as a result. But your sense of it is that the glass has to be full of water.
That's a meiridika daher in mitzvahs limud ha-Torah.
But it's not just that therefore the consequences that every spare moment I have, I should learn. You understand? It's not that at all. It's that much more than that, though. It is that. I'm not saying it's not. You have to use up every spare minute. But I'm going to address a question in a moment. Why doesn't that agenda create an extraordinarily neurotic Jew? I'm very serious about it. But I'm going to try to address that in a moment. But what I'm pointing out is that beyond the idea that you're mechuyev to learn every spare moment, that's a practical consequence of this idea of the glass. But there's a philosophical understanding that is much more profound and much more essential. That basically, we call a person a ben Torah, and we call a person a Talmid Chacham. It means that his vision of everything around him is colored by this perspective of Agisa Bayom V'Loyla. And I think that in the end, besides telling Yehoshua that your every spare moment you have to learn, he's telling Yehoshua that it's true you have an agenda, it's true that it's taking you away from learning. But the taking you away from learning is with an understanding that basically you're learning all the time.
I'll try to give you... I always, when I was a youngster, I had more time, and therefore I had more time to think. It's amazing how many times I say, when I was younger, I thought this and I thought that. The truth of the matter is I don't have that much time to think anymore. There are too many people to take care of. But Lemaisa, there was a point where I looked at the Pasuk, in B'chukosai Teilechus. And I already heard from my Rebbeim 100 times that in B'chukosai Teilechus, this means what?
Shetiyu Amelim B'Torah.
Exactly. Shetiyu Amelim. You should toil in Torah. You should walk in my ways. In B'chukosai Teilechus, you should walk in the ways of my commandments. And what does it mean? It means really that you should toil in Torah. So I thought to myself, just a moment, to whom is this being addressed? To whom is HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying in B'chukosai Teilechus?
Every member of Klal Yisrael. That's the point. Every single member of Klal Yisrael.
I mean to say that the men are being told in B'chukosai Teilechu v'chulu v'chulu v'nasati gishmechem b'itam, and the women are not involved in any of this. That's absurd. Because there's nothing as generic and all-encompassing and all-inclusive as in B'chukosai Teilechu v'smitzvayse tishmru v'nasati gishmechem b'itam v'etzasoda yitem perio v'chulu v'chulu v'chulu. And the opposite, chas v'shalom, Telchimi carry, the Hamas carry, Rachmanu Litzlot, that's also as universal as can be. It's referring specifically to the men. It's men, women, and children. It's the whole of Klal Yisrael, Bekitzer. So if you're talking about mitzvahs,
So each one has his mitzvah.
There are mitzvahs that Kohanim can do, that Levim can do, that Yisraelim can do. Each person can have his own mitzvah. In Tiyu Amelim BaTorah, the mitzvah of learning was given to the men. So what is Ribbono Shel Olam talking about? The answer is, he's talking to Klal Yisrael that the men should be Amelim BaTorah. What does that mean? It means that the woman... It's much more than support. What I see here is the following.
Why was that particular Inyan singled out if you're talking generically and you're talking to all of Klal Yisrael? You know what the answer is?
The answer is because the society is a society whose agenda is Shetiyu Amelim BaTorah. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to Yehoshua, and that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to Klal Yisrael. You see, you have a society, they have a vision of what they're all about. You know, today there's an expression called a mission statement. A mission statement. Like, what's your organization all about? What's your company all about? Say it in, you know, 50 words or less. Who are you? So if I need to define myself as a particular charity, I have to write, what do I do? Why am I asking you for money? I have to define who I am. The Ribbono Shel Olam says in B'chukosai Teilechu, there's not one word in the words B'chukosai Teilechu that speaks about Torah specifically. Rashi says, if it's mitzvahs, it's already mentioned separately. Okay, so maybe it's not mitzvahs, maybe it means something else. But you know what the secret is? Because the word Teilechu, what does Teilechu have to do with mitzvahs? You can't walk in mitzvahs. You know why? Because walking is only associated with a derech. You walk in the derech. When it says in the pasuk, "Veloselchu b'chukos hagoy," you know what that means? It means it could be the goy has this minig, it could be the goy in another generation in another part of the world has an entirely different minig. It makes no difference. Because what we don't want is that you should live like a goy. Do you understand? So in the Chukosai Teilechu says, you have something that identifies a Jewish civilization. You live like a Jew. So when you ask, how does a person live like a Jew? You're asking, what is his mission statement? You're asking, what is his mission statement? There's one mission statement. It's an amazing thing. Shetiyu Amelim BaTorah. The whole engine of Klal Yisrael is geared... That whole motor called Klal Yisrael in the world is geared to one agenda. Everything is oiled and perfected to achieve that one point, that the society surrounds Amelus BaTorah. No, because mitzvahs are mentioned. Now, you have a society that's only Amel BaTorah. It never existed, it never will exist. There's no such thing. Because everyone understands that Amelus BaTorah, disemboweled from Asiyas Mitzvahs, is totally meaningless. Because the whole point of the Torah is to do mitzvahs. But it's much more than the specific mitzvahs, or even doing all the mitzvahs. It's a vision of... And the reason is very poshut. Amelus BaTorah has a fundamental difference than mitzvahs in exactly what the Vilna Gaon is saying. It is the inherent definition... After which I have all my other sub-definitions. But it is the identity of Klal Yisrael. That's why it's always in the passive, Al Tazov. Because you are already it. The cup has to be full to the brim. What you do in that cup to make the water less, you have to justify. Mitzvahs is the exact opposite. You go out to find mitzvahs. You don't go out to find Torah. You are Torah. And the society that does not have that understanding could be fulfilling mitzvahs left and right. They're finished. Because it's not a Jewish society. I want to be masbir with something else also. It's very interesting. We say, what's the connection? We also have a pasuk. The pasuk says, Ki mitzion teitzei soyru dvar Hashem Yerushalayim. Everybody knows that the Torah was given in a midbar. And for a reason. Because there's no place that's associated uniquely with Torah. Because if you associate one place with Torah, you will not be allowed to associate all places with Torah. And that's not Shaykh. So what's Ki Mitzion Teitzei Soyru, a pasuk in the beginning of Yeshayahu? The answer is that Ki Mitzion Teitzei Soyru and Sein Chalkeinu She'ibonu Beis HaMikdash is saying the following. You can have a Torah that addresses my chiyuv in this mitzvah, that mitzvah. You have a Torah that gives me a pshat and a pasuk. And then you have Torah as a way of life. Torah is a way of life for Yechidim, that's possible in every time. But for Klal Yisrael to ring with that definition, with that mission statement, is not possible till Yemos HaMashiach. You see clearly that it's not. And that's the V'chukosai Teilechu is describing a matzav. It's describing a civilization. And the civilization that harks to that agenda in its perfect state is Kimitzi and Teitzeser. It's never Shaykh before that. But even so, a society that's limited and narrow, but still has that fundamental sense of itself, a kehila here, a kehila there, a country here, a country there, they're the only ones that survived. The minute that the society, even if they kept mitzvahs, but if the society lost their sense of the centrality of Torah in their lives, it didn't take long before they assimilated away. And that's a fact. And that's why the whole Al Tazoivu idea has inside of it a huge understanding that is much more than simply the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is different than other mitzvahs. And that's what the Goyen is saying. I also have a sense that B'ze'er Anpin, that's exactly what it means that the Siyogim of the Chachomim according to Rashi or Minhogim according to the Gemara is Al Titosh also. Because they define who we are. You get a Torah from on high, and now what? Making siyogim, the protection of that Torah, means it's precious to you. Minhagim says, there are ways a Jew looks at things. There's the things that only a Jew can do. And it connects Doris, Minhagim. Azeyot ha-tatezach gefilt. That is why it's al-titosh. Because al-titosh says, it's there already. It's who you are. Don't give it up. That may be the I mean, just a couple of words in the grub, but it's a tremendous, tremendous yisoid. Now, the following. Gemara says, on the pasuk, Ki lekach toiv nosati lochem. Ki lekach toiv nosati lochem, toirotzi al tazoivu. Lekach is understood by Chazal in the Medrash Shmois Rabbah as a mekach. Mekach in the sense of a sale. Now, you have a very interesting and fascinating point. Lekach and nosati, if that's the way you understand the word lekach, as a transaction, a financial sale, then the word nosati is a steerer. You know why? Because nosati is without money, and mekach is with money. So is it a mekach? Is it a mecher? Or is it a maton? Ki lekach toiv nosati lochem. Then there's another thing. Most people, when they sell under some form of duress. That's not always the case. Some people buy in order to sell. So they're selling, they're extremely happy. But what if you possess a treasure? See, if I buy and sell diamonds, that's my trade. I'm a merchant. So that diamond is of no concern to me at all that I bought. And it's no concern for me that I'm selling it for a higher price. That's how I make my money. But what if a person has an heirloom diamond? So the same diamond merchant says, oh no, that's not for sale, excuse me. You know, somebody walks in, he notices this gorgeous diamond on a shelf somewhere, and he says, that's what I want to buy. Oh no, that's not for sale. What if he becomes desperate, and he doesn't have money to support his family? He starts thinking, you know, I have no bravery, so I sell it. And he makes the transaction, and even as he's making the transaction and making the money to support his family, his eyes are full of tears. And he's crying like a baby. Oy vey that I had to give this up. So when something is truly precious, you can't part with it without feeling miserable. So there's a very remarkable chazal. And we wonder, what do we do with such a chazal? How do we understand it? Because the Gemara tells us exactly this nakuda did not apply to the Ribbono Shel Olam when he gave Bnei Yisrael the Torah. He was happy also. Listen to this. Gemara in Brachos, Daf Hei Amid Aleph, very famous Gemara. Amar Rab Zeila, V'yitemu Rab Chanina Bar Papa. Bo yurei shaloi kemidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas basa v'dam.
Midas basav adam, adam meicher chayfetz l'chaveiroi meicher otzev. Again, it's referring to something, that's why I gave you this hakdama. Not every meicher is otzev. Many meicherim are super happy. In fact, if somebody hasn't come around for a while, and suddenly somebody shows up at the door, and you sell him something, you're thrilled out of your wits today. So what does it mean, meicher otzev? It means an heirloom. Something that's precious to you. The only reason you sold it is because you're desperate. Meicher otzev loikeach sameach. Look at Rashi right below. Hamoicher otzev shepirish heimenu dover choshuv kazeh u'mitoich dochkoi mecharei. Why does he have to give you this whole Torah? The answer is because he's trying to explain to you. You're not talking about a regular businessman. You're not talking about a regular salesman. Of course he's happy when he makes a sale. You're talking about somebody who is pressured into selling something that's very important to him, but he has no choice. So he's unhappy. So the meicher is otzev, and the lokeach is sameach. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Gemara Vayta, Ein oikein. Nosan lem tov l'Yisrael v'somach. Shenema ki lekach tov nosati lochem, toirotzi al tazayv. I find, you know, a lot of times you have a Gemara that's about some very complicated inyan, in Dinim Mamonos, in Kochim, whatever. And it's something that you say, I simply don't understand. Most of the time when you have an agadita, people treat an agadita like it's like a story. You don't get overly excited. You do understand the details of the story. You don't understand the details. Agadita is the hashkafa of Klal Yisrael. It's what the Rebbeinu Shlom wants us to think. And it's critically important to understand the Chazal. And we don't understand this Chazal at all. We simply are... We find it incomprehensible. You know why? Listen, I want you to have the Torah. I created you to have the Torah. I created the world with the Torah, and I gave it to Yisrael, and both are nikkoreishis. And you're the only ones that are mestugel to have the Torah. And the tachlis of the Bria is your learning the Torah. Why shouldn't I be sameach? Like, what's the habit? I don't understand what it means. Loi kein midosei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu midosei shel basav adam. You know what it sounds like, this Chazal? This Chazal sounds like the following. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mizgaber al Midosav. That the Emes, he wouldn't want to give it to anybody. It's so precious, he wants to keep it in his bosom, Kibayochel. He wants to keep it Tachas Kisei HaKadosh. But, for whatever reason, he became desperate, and therefore, he had to give it away, and Afal Pinkeni was Sameach because he's a Mizgaber al Midosav. What's going on over here? Is that the story? Of course not. So if it's not the story, so then what's the comparison? I don't understand. I'll give you a better mashal. And a mother has a diamond ring, or a wedding band, or whatever. And she has a tochter, and the tochter's ready to get married. She says, my kind, I want you to have this. So the daughter, of course, opens up her eyes wide. It's a 2-carat diamond, and it's already 70 years old, or whatever, 50 years old. And it's precious to the mother, and v'chulu, v'chulu. She says, ma, I can't. I just can't. And she said, no, I want you to have it. You'd make me so happy if you took it. Makes sense? It's an heirloom. And we get to Simtochta. Because it's B'yom Chasanos, B'yom Simchas Libay. What's the problem? That's the analogy. So what's the Chiddush that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sameach? In fact, the Pesach says, B'yom Chasanos, B'yom Simchas Libay. So a Chosan gives anything to the Kalam. That's what a Chosan is. You see, there's something about the Torah that gets tarnished, inevitably, in this contact. You know, you have something that's perfect and never suffers any aging, discoloration, any effect of the atmosphere when it's in a perfect environment. You know, have these paintings that have deteriorated in time. And there are certain tints that were in the time of the Renaissance very popular, that oxidize. And when they oxidize, they simply change colors. And the painting that was, over generations, you see it changing before your very eyes. Today that we have photography already for a long time, pictures of those paintings, phenomenal, are very different than pictures of what they are today. And the people in the art world and the museums are very, the curators, they're very upset. And they're figuring out Eitz has had to deal with that. Everybody knows that paintings and all kinds of very delicate items
are kept in an environment which the temperature is always kept between this temperature and that temperature, and the humidity is very severely controlled, v'chulei v'chulei. The Torah is like that also. The Torah, in its original pristine existence, could not abide coming down to this earth. And in fact, when the Malachim complained, what they were saying is it's not going to be the same Torah. It's much worse than the oxidized painting, Kivayoch. So what's going to be? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, hold on to the Kisei HaKavod and answer them. And he starts asking them, what is it saying, the Torah, Kabbalah, Savicha, Vesimecha, you don't have a father, you don't have a mother. So what kind of, so what was that? Meikara, Meikasava, Vlibesayf, Meikasava. The Torah is very poshut. The Torah is so multi-layered that from the Malachim's point of view, they don't see Kabbalah, Savicha, Vesimecha. They see Shema, Shema, Kadosh Baruch Hu. They see a document that we can't even imagine. So when you take that and you bring it down to this atmosphere, Kivayochol, you are transforming, tainting, and damaging that perfect Torah that was Tachas Kisei HaKavod. And they couldn't abide it. And as you say, in a certain sense, they are asking in the name of Hashem. Therefore, there's a trade-off. That's the point. There's a trade-off. Now imagine if the diamond ring that you're giving your daughter will now, in this new environment, become tarnished and develop blemishes, v'chulei v'chulei. There has to be some measure of sadness. Because af al pi kein, it's no longer that Torah anymore. For HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be sameach, it's loy kemidas basav adam. That's the beginning of the answer. We still have to understand something. Not so much, then therefore, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do it? But what is Chazal trying to say about his simcha? That's what I mean. Is it really a perception, ke'ilu, he's mizgaber al midoysav kevayochol? Or is there something else about that simcha that's mechudosh, shaloi kemidas basav adam? So I wanted to talk a little bit about that next time. Just, I want to just be moisif before I finish. That connects what we said at the beginning of Toirasi al Tazoivu and the whole idea of Torah, different than mitzvahs, and the simcha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's only one place where the Torah can be learnt, and that's by us. And that has something to do with this idea of the reduction of the Torah and af al pi kein des simcha. I just wanted to read the Orach Chaim with you because it's very short and it's so powerful. It says here, v'samachta b'chol ha-toiv, says in the Pasuk. When you bring kisachala la'aser v'chulu, v'samachta b'chol ha-toiv, the Pasuk says. The Orach Chaim gives a remez in what b'chol ha-toiv. What does it mean you should rejoice in all the good? He says, ka'omram de gemara v'ein toiv ela toira. Because the Pasuk says, She'im, listen to what he says. She'im hoyu bnei adam margishim b'mesikus va'arevus tuv ha-toira. If they would appreciate how sweet and how wonderful and how charming and how delightful and how delicious and how thrilling the Torah is, hoyu mishtagim, they would go crazy, u'mislahatim achareo, and they would chase after it, v'lo yechoshev be'eineihem meloi oilam kesev v'zahav, and if the whole world was full of gold and silver at their disposal, it would mean nothing to them, because of their avas and cheshkas ha-Torah. It would be nechshav l'me'uma, ki ha-Torah koileles kol ha-toiveh sheba'olam. So I was thinking to myself, if we could only convey that in kindergarten, we would be in. That's really what it's all about. People learn and they learn a lot of things, and some people have learning disabilities and some people have trouble understanding things on a higher level, and everything is homogenized into the same class, and people begin to develop a frustration about learning and they develop a resentment to learning, and even the people who are good at learning, but there are a lot of other things pulling at them from every direction. Person would have this sense that I appreciate that Torah is something that is so much more precious that you have to be crazy not to be immersed in it. It would be a different world. But that's Vaisdei's also waiting for Yemais HaMashiach, for everyone to feel that way. V'naru Elov HaKol HaGoyim V'amunuchu V'na'al El Har HaShem El Beis El Kayakov Kimitziyim Teitzei Torah U'dvar HaShem Yerushalayim.